In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This, for me, is probably one of the most challenging of the gospel parables. We find this version of this parable in Luke as well, but unlike Luke's version, Matthew's is much darker. For instance, those invited to the event, in Luke it's a dinner, in Matthew's we have a wedding. In Luke's version, those folks simply give excuses as to why they can't attend. One has to inspect land that he's just purchased. One has some oxen that he's going to try out. One just got married. None mistreat or kill the one that was sent to bring them to the event, as in Matthew. Then, even after the slaves bring in all the people that they can find, the master in Matthew's version, the master in Luke's version sends them back out, searching and compelling even more to come. And at the end of the parable of Luke, we hear, "None of those who were invited will taste my dinner." No one is cast out into outer darkness for wearing the wrong clothes. Yes, Matthew's version is much darker and harder to wrestle with, and certainly harder to preach on with a baptism like we have at 11:15 today. So what is the deal with Matthew? Why is Matthew seemingly trying to scare us into accepting God's invitation and to make sure that we dress suitably for the occasion? Well, in order to understand Matthew's version of this parable, we need to go back to Matthew's time and place. Matthew's gospel is primarily concerned with convincing fellow Israelites that Jesus is indeed the one who is fulfilling all that God promised in what we know as the Old Testament. Matthew is, throughout his telling of the life and times of Jesus, pointing back to the prophets of old and pointing out all the ways in which Jesus is indeed the legitimate heir of the royal house of David, the one the Jews have been waiting for. But not all are convinced. And this theological issue of who Jesus is becoming divisive in Matthew's world. And so in this parable, we are catching a glimpse of the low point in an intense family feud. And I want to emphasize the word family here, because Matthew and his community, much like in the Gospel of John, are caught up in a struggle with their Israelite family members about how to be faithful to the God of Abraham and Sarah, and whether Jesus was the Messiah that Israel's prophets had told that God promised would come to them. This is not a Jewish Christian fight, but rather represents the pain of a community divided from its family and trying to justify itself. Why is this parable so dark? Because at this point in the family conflict, Matthew is willing to say that God not only rejects those family members of his that rejected Jesus, but that God actually sent the Romans to the temple as punishment for this. This is one serious family feud. And why is this important for us to know all this? Because this parable has been used across centuries and still today by some Christians to drive a wedge between Jews and Christians, and even to justify Christians' mistreatment of Jews. This, my friends, was not Matthew's intent. Unless we think we get off the hook because we are not first century Jews, His words for, he has words for us as well. That's where the dress code comes in. For Matthew, it isn't enough to say you are a follower of Jesus, to say you believe he is in fact the Messiah, the Son of God. You actually have to be a follower, a disciple. It's not enough to RSVP and then just show up. You have to dress so people know what you're about. Matthew is telling us that God is inviting us to show up ready, ready to be the followers of Christ we profess to be, ready to live our baptismal covenant, ready to be people who resist evil in all its ugliness and forms in our world, ready to be people who seek and serve Christ in all people, loving our neighbor as ourselves, ready to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Note the action words in all of these: resist, seek, serve, strive. In other words, not just show up and say the words, but do them. Matthew is telling us there is a difference. There is a difference in showing up and being dressed for the occasion. There is a difference in showing up and wearing your faith so everyone can see why you are there. It is the difference between professing a faith and living it. And for Matthew, that was a big and serious distinction. When I spoke with Tara and Pete, Finley's parents, the baby we're going to baptize at the 11:15 service, about baptism, I asked the same question I ask all parents who want to have their child baptized. I ask, why do you want to do this? For many parents, it's because it's what you do. It's a rite of passage. Or there are still some who believe it is something you have to do, or God forbid, if something happens to your child and he isn't baptized, the child won't go to heaven. No one believes that anymore. Rarely do I hear it's because we want to raise our child to know and love God through Jesus. Or we want to be part of a faith community that will help us and our child know and love God through Jesus. But that is the conversation that we have. Because the only reason to baptize a child is because you want those things for your child and for yourself. You want help for yourself and help for your child in learning what clothes to show up in as a Christian. You want to help in figuring out how to live these vows that we are shortly going to renew and promise. And so you come to a community like this, like St. James, and perform this ritual that says, we acknowledge that our child is a child of God, and come to pray for God's Holy Spirit to bless him or her with all that she or he will need to live a faithful life as a follower of Jesus. And that being upheld by this community of faithful people, we will all do our best to teach and learn and live these promises we make today. That is what will bring Finley's family to St. James later today. Baptism is a serious thing. It is the first step in accepting an invitation and learning what clothes to wear to the event. And each time we baptize someone, we remind ourselves of this and our promises. In Matthew's day, Believing in Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, was serious business. It meant being willing to be separated from family and friends, ostracized from your community. And not long down the road in the next century, it meant to face sure death. I would say it's serious business today. If we take our baptismal vow seriously and put on the clothes for the event God has invited us to, it can indeed be risky business. Because it means more than just showing up. It means speaking out, taking a stand, taking risks, walking alongside, investing in with our money, making phone calls, writing letters, or emailing people in power, demanding change, asking hard questions. It's more than saying, I will with God's help. It's trusting God's help and doing something. We have been invited to the wedding banquet. Will you come? And will you dress for the occasion? Amen. Thank you.